Well, it's an interesting time of year in the New York City public schools right now. Tomorrow, the citywide panel for educational policy, that's the mayor's panel, will vote on another round of school closings. This time, 19 schools are stated to close and 6 others to be scaled back. Later this month, middle school students will start to learn what high schools they've been that they'll be attending. And if you're just starting your relationship with the school system, tours of kindergarten are underway in advance of the March application deadline. Joining me to talk more about the schools are WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig and Clara Hemphill, senior editor at the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School and the founding editor of InsideSchools.org, which provides parents school-by-school reviews. Welcome back, Beth. Hello, Clara. Welcome back to you, too.
Thank you, Brian.
Good morning.
Beth, how did these 19 schools get on the list for closing? And is this going to be a big conflagration again with parents protesting that they should stay open?
Of course it's going to be. You know, what do you think these hearings have been about all month, where people come out and speak at their schools and plead with Department of Education officials? We've been covering this at WNYC and our partner Schoolbook, and the city is required to hold public meetings at the schools and explain what it's doing whenever it proposes phasing out a school. And each time there's been parents and teachers there who disagree very strongly with the city's decision. So we can expect again to have one of these all-night votes tomorrow at Brooklyn Tech, where they hold the hearing because it's the biggest auditorium that they can facilitate this.
Is that
at
the biggest school auditorium in the city?
I believe it is. And that it's also a convenient location because it's near so much mass transit. And so they have, you know, the 25 proposals all come up at once. And they tend to have hundreds, definitely hundreds who sign up to speak, but more than 1,000 usually show up for these things. The past 2 years, it's been an all-night process because they have to take all the public comment, and everybody gets 3 minutes or so. And so, you know, around 2 or 3 in the morning, the panel, which is controlled by mayoral appointees, will vote. And typically, some of the representatives who are appointed by the borough presidents take more independent positions and are against some of the school closings, but it always passes because it's dominated by mayoral appointees.
And I understand that, to take one example, some students have a social media campaign to save one high school. That's the Legacy School for Integrated Studies. They've gotten some local and national media exposure. You want to tell us a little bit about that school and whether they're having an impact using new media?
I haven't been to that school personally. I know Schoolbook did a piece on it the other day, and it's in the West Village, and I did meet a parent at that school. I know that they believe that their school is turning around now, and this is often what you hear too, is that the city didn't give it enough of a chance. They believe that the principal's now doing a lot of good there, that things are improving, but the city always says, well, we looked at that data, and we don't believe there's the capacity in the building, and we think that the best thing to do is close it down over the next few years by not accepting new students and letting a new school take over, which can be more successful. And what they really mean by that is that they don't think the culture of the building can change, that it's a lack of confidence in the leadership and in the teachers, that they believe that having new teachers can really make a difference. So that's one of the reasons why the union has become very vocal against this. But you also see, like in the case of Legacy, a lot of loyalty by people in the building, the parents, the students, and they are taking advantage of social media. And we've been seeing, actually, I believe this year, some of the fight has been a little stronger than in previous years because they've been better at organizing.
Listeners, anybody want to get in on either of these things, either the 19 schools slated for a closure or scaling back, or the kindergarten application process? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you're involved personally in either of these things in New York City, you'll get first priority right now, but anyone may call 212-433-WNYC or post to our webpage, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Clara Hemphill, one of the great things about the site you founded, Inside Schools, is that you have specific reviews of schools with detailed information, pro and con, and just informationally. I've used it myself as a New York City public school parent, you know, at several transition points, and it's so specific. But do you ever label a school as failing or describe it in terms that would give parents the idea, oh, this sounds like a really dismal or failing place?
Our code is this school faces many challenges. Sometimes there are schools that are really in bad shape. We don't blame the people. Most of the teachers are really trying their hardest, but we will say it faces many challenges. Legacy is an example of a school that has really quite a strong principal. It had some really dicey situations a couple years ago, but the new principal really does seem to be doing a good job. I think one of the problems with the school closures is that the Department of Ed doesn't say what they're going to replace it with. So that if you look at the replacement for Legacy, it just says new school. So I think in the community, it's okay, this isn't perfect, but tell us what else you've got in mind that's going to be better. And the answer is, we really don't know.
And they also, they sometimes will move a charter into the building and they'll be explicit about that. But often, you're right, it's just they come up with a new code name for the school, a new numerical number. They'll come up with a new business number for the school and they'll just say this is going to accept students from the district or it's going to be this type of school, but it's very vague. But I should say that this is very key to the Bloomberg administration's approach to school reform, which is their core belief is that you should replace failing schools with new schools. And there are now about 500 more schools in the city than there were when Mayor Bloomberg took office in 2002.
Now, let's stop and just digest that number for a minute. 500 new schools. That means about
over
50% more, right? Because there were about 1,000 different schools. If you count all the elementary, middle, and high schools as of 10 years ago.
There were 1,200.
1,200. So it's a tremendous number of schools to launch in a short period of time.
Right. And they've closed over 100. And about 100 of those 500 are charter schools, which are privately managed. So it's a real belief that you shake things up by getting new strong leaders in, new cultures in the buildings. And they're bearing fruit, according to a recent study that found that the kids at those small schools have higher graduation rates, even as the schools accept more mostly minority students, students who came in at a low grade level, students who had challenges. But from the data that we've been sifting at WNYC, there is a slight discrepancy among the schools that you see around the city where the report cards that are given for schools, that A through F report card system, schools that get very high marks, high schools that is, that get A's and B's, tend to have the fewest number of special education students who require intensive services. So that's why there's also an argument that sometimes the failing schools have very challenging populations, which is what I saw when I visited the Columbus campus. Mm-hmm. Christopher Columbus High School is in the process of closing. 25% of the students there have special needs, and 11% of them are so severe that they must be in classes segregated from other pupils, small classes. Meanwhile, the six small schools that have opened in that building, they have special needs kids too, but not nearly the proportion. And so that's part of the reason why you see this struggle going on around the city where they say the city is dooming some schools to fail, and yet the city says, no, we can also point to examples of schools that have very high challenging populations, but they do a good job. So it's a real tension that you see in school reform.
Let's take a caller who's going to be the glue in this segment, I think, because she worked at Legacy, and she's applying to kindergartens. Kim Marie in Hell's Kitchen. You're on WNYC. Hello, Kim Marie.
Hello. Hi. How you doing?
Good. So what do you think first about the school closures and Legacy, where the students are trying to wage a social media campaign to save it?
Well, I think part of what gets missed in that story is that for a lot of those kids, a huge part of the population in that school is that they have a place to go that is where they actually get supported, and I think they really respond to that. A lot of kids, that's a last choice school for them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, when I was there in 9 and 10, that was when the school was having a lot of problems, but there was a huge core of kids that were really getting a lot of their social and emotional needs met.
And that school also has a very challenging population, we should point out. Something like 30% of the kids there have special needs. Mm. There's a lot of overage kids there. And so that points to the, you know, you need a strong principal. You need well-trained, experienced teachers to work with that population.
There are also kids who are living in homeless shelters. Mm-hmm. They're teenagers who have no parents, who are living on their own. There are half a dozen kids who've just come out of juvenile justice facilities. So they're needy in ways that are not just reflected by special education.
So, Kim Marie, you're also a parent of an approaching kindergartner?
Yes.
And how's that going?
It's good. I mean, when I first started the whole process, I really thought that I had much more of a choice than I feel like I do have. You know, I toured a lot of schools. I toured private schools, a Catholic school, and the catchment school that we're in, plus one school that we're really interested in where we're not in the zone for it, and then an unzoned school. And those pretty much are what we can do, but it's really just always feels like a big gamble.
Clara, you hear that a lot?
It does feel like a big gamble, and I really do fault the Department of Education for poor planning over the past 10 years. The elementary schools have gotten very overcrowded, a lot of them, and parents, there are waiting lists for kindergarten enrollment at a lot of schools. This year, it is better, and they have opened some new schools, that is, with real new buildings. When Beth talks about opening new schools, it's not shiny new buildings. It's really just renaming the basement a school.
It's closing Christopher Columbus High School and putting five programs in the big building.
Exactly. So they're not new schools in the sense that they're new buildings. Now in Manhattan, we're finally getting some new buildings so that I think this year we'll see less of the kindergarten wait lists, which we had in previous years. So I think that's a step in the right direction. But I don't think it should be a gamble. I think kindergarten is a right. It's an entitlement, and it should not be a gamble.
And there's also a lot of confusion among parents about what is your zone school, gifted and talented programs. You really have to be pretty savvy to understand the enormous number of choices that the city has created. Choice is good, but it's also overwhelming.
And Kim Marie, thank you for your call, and good luck. But it is a right, Clara. Every child is going to be assigned a kindergarten if they do nothing, if their parents do nothing, right? And so the question is maximizing, you know, the best possible kindergarten for your child?
Yes. And we wish we had a good kindergarten in every neighborhood in the city, and the fact is we don't. I actually think that the Bloomberg administration has improved the very poor schools over the last 10 years. I think schools in neighborhoods like the South Bronx are significantly better than they were before. But parents don't jump up and cheer because 40% of kids are reading at grade level instead of 25% of kids reading at grade level.
Frank in Suffolk County, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. I've worked in the school system. I've now retired for about 30 years. And I've worked in many of the boroughs, but in particular in Queens, some of the schools there, there are unofficial DOE agreements that certain students can't go to other schools once they're suspended. And the number of the schools in Queens that are going to be closed is extremely dramatic. The population there is underserved in Southeast Queens, and doing any more than closing them would only jeopardize those students' educations. I've also seen
doing any more than closing them? You mean if they didn't close them, they would be jeopardizing the education?
I think that by reducing the size of the schools because the population is underserved and the number of students that are in the schools currently, where are they going to go? The services aren't offered in Southeast Queens. Transportation is very poor. It is extremely difficult for students to get to other places in the city. And if you look at the list of the schools that are closing, many of those schools in Southeast Queens are going to be closed.
Thank you very much. Beth, are there ever cases where parents support the closing of the local school? Are there going to be protests at all of these 19? Or is it some, yes, where the families rally around, and maybe a lot of others where they say, oh, yeah, this school stinks. Let's try something new.
The closest thing I've seen to that is a hearing I attended last year where hardly anyone showed up. So there wasn't any opposition, but there also wasn't anyone saying, yeah, please do close it. You know, I have seen, so you could take that as people voting with their feet if they don't show up and they protest it. But most of the time, they do seem to be against it. It's kind of like the devil you know versus the devil you don't, or they just don't trust the mayor. And we've seen, you know, a recent poll saying people really do have some issues with the mayor and his handling of the schools, even as they support some of his goals.
All right. Clara, what's your biggest piece of advice for parents choosing an elementary school?
Try to relax. There are a lot of good kindergartens out there.
And then go forth and look for them how? Evaluate them how? How do you know a good kindergarten when you walk into a building and you've never been a parent of a five-year-old before?
We actually have a video on our website, what to look for in a school tour. So if you go to www.insideschools.org or to our YouTube channel, you can see what we think is a good kindergarten.
And give us a little preview. What would be in that video?
One of the things you look for is a welcoming area for parents. If there's no place to sit in the entryway, it means they don't want parents to stick around. We look for a school that challenges the strong students and gives support to the weak students might be one where one child is reading an easy book like Frog and Toad and another child is reading Charlotte's Web in the same classroom.
Clara Hemphill, senior editor at the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School and founding editor of InsideSchools.org and WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig. She had a piece this morning, and you can see her work on our joint education website with the New York Times, schoolbook.org. Beth, Clara, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.